On tousse. Oh.
In the 21st century, ghosts do exist. After 4 years, she can see her again. She can hear her again. But as hard as she tries, Jang Ji-sung can't touch her dead daughter, Na-yeon. For this is a digital recreation of the girl who died from leukemia in 2016, age 7. Just pixels in a headset and a voice in some headphones. Meeting her daughter's avatar has been a complex and deeply emotional experience for this grieving mother.
If Na-yeon were alive, she would now be 11 years old, and it's heartbreaking to see that her time has stopped at the age of 7. But I was so happy to see her that way.
The reunion has been made possible by advances in virtual reality.
People often think that technology is cold. We decided to participate in this project to see if the technology can comfort and warm people's minds when it is used for people.
The South Korean studio used photos and her mother's memories of Na-yeon and the movements of a child actor. It was filmed in a two-part documentary for South Korean broadcaster MBC called Meeting You. The film's been a big hit, but producers have had to defend themselves against accusations they've emotionally manipulated a distraught family for viewer ratings.
We thought about the ways in which people can meet their lost family members. If they were to meet, what can they talk about? What do they want to talk about? This is the biggest motivation of this project.
Jang says her last wish was to tell Na-yeon she loved her and has never forgotten her. Rory Challens, Al Jazeera.
This is mostly a protest, but fires have been started.
How's that hope for humanity doing? bleak, I know. I've had this sitting just on my pile, and just because of this unexpected shortened week, and like I said, I would rather be here tomorrow doing this than most likely what I think is going to happen, or at least tell me what's going to happen and then get delayed another week or so. That was obviously a report from Al Jazeera English on a two-part documentary series out of South Korea about a woman. I don't have to run it all down. They recreate this woman's 7-year-old dead daughter who died of leukemia. And I will link to a form of the video post, so if you choose, you can watch the clip. In the beginning, she has a headset on and she has virtual reality VR gloves on, and she's trying to caress this virtual reality Second Life style image of her daughter. And there's two parts of this that where I think this all goes wrong. I think it's all wrong. Don't get me wrong at all. I think that this is just morally, ethically, spiritually, physically, technologically bankrupt and void of any and all humanity. But on the other hand, there's two parts to this whole thing. And the reason I started off with this, I thought this was an interesting thing as I stay kind of on where we're headed with AI, where we're headed with VR. And if you subscribe to Spectator Magazine, you should have gotten my piece out on Google where I state there are very clear warning signs that we're not prepared for this. We have not debated any of this. We have not sat down and looked at this technology extensively and said, hey, is this right? Is this wrong? How should we use this? And I don't even mean in a legal way. There should be, and I know that, you know, Dr. Frankenstein exists for a reason, there should be at least some kind of moral code somewhere. And I know that sounds stupid because there will always be somebody who pushes these things under the misguided premise that they are pioneering some great moral and emotional therapeutic treatment or whatever. When basically what this is fucking Pet Sematary and not much more. But this kind of goes off with the piece that I wrote in Spectator, and I ended that piece, if you haven't read it, by basically saying what happened with Google Gemini should have put the brakes on the entire industry. Every single tech company, Microsoft, Oracle, Google, anybody, IBM, Apple, all of them, Intel, they should all be putting the brakes on implementing AI into anything over what happened at Google. And, of course, you can't force them to do this, but we shouldn't have to. Because all that matters, it appears, is getting there first and not getting there correctly. Because that's kind of all that's really mattered as far as the financials of the tech industry. And that's how people get conned. That's how people get conned by Elizabeth Holmes. Oh, here's, take this pill and it's going to do a complete buyout for your whole body or whatever. And it sounded so good that even the current president swallowed that up. The two spots in that story, in that clip, in that segment where I just, you lose me, is one, you can't touch her. You'll never be able to do that, by the way. I guess maybe you can simulate it, you know, sort of a la Blade Runner 2049 style where you get an actor and they merge and you won't have to, like, use goggles. God, I do nothing. Or whatever. So maybe someday we'll get there. But for now, it's not your daughter. It is a virtual reality rendering. And no one apparently thought to like step in. And I'm sure that there's a whole host of waivers volunteering that has to go through this. But again, the fact that this project even thought was a good idea to be financed by someone should raise serious medical and ethical concerns. That's the first part where you get me. You can't touch this. And that's the problem with virtual reality. You can't touch any of it. And that should tell you in your brain that this isn't real, except we spend so many hours now on our screens, scrolling and touching a screen to where we actually believe that perhaps this form of reality is real. The other part that gets me on this is they use a child actor. Like I just mentioned, maybe that's where this will go. But in the segment, there's this kid. It's like a 4 or 5 year old kid or something. And he's just like strapped into this thing. And he's got this headband on. He's wearing a mocap. And there's just hundreds of these cameras around him. And I'm like, what parent submitted their kid for this? Oh, it's just an acting job. Jimmy or whatever they called Jimmy in Korea or whatever. This is just an acting job. You're just going to go and you're just going to get your picture taken. Here's a couple $100. What's this for? Oh, you're recreating the movements of a woman's dead daughter. Did they do this based on YouTube clips or video or whatever? I mean, this is only 4 years ago. If you can't touch your daughter, she's gone. And if you need a stand-in to mimic the movements, she's gone. And I know that there's Black Mirror on this, but this is a really horrifying road we're going down. And again, somebody somewhere is going to overstep the lines on this. And I wanted to get this out there. I was thinking about how if I was going to do a segment on this or play it, but because of what happened with the week, I thought I would just leave you with this to ponder over the weekend. Jesus. I watched this, and it's horrifying to me. There's no other word for it. I feel for this woman. That, you know, anyone who loses a young child, a 7-year-old, which is just, you know, coming out of childhood and then sort of just starting to just kind of go into early preteen, develop their personality and it starts to come through and they get taken away from you. And I feel for her. I don't know how this helps. In any way, maybe you can leave in comments or something over the weekend. I don't know how this is supposed to help. And I don't guess I understand why there wasn't anyone, either a therapist or a psychologist involved with this project, that said, if you do this, she's going to want to do it again, maybe. And then you're going to want to do it again. And I just want to see my daughter. And then you get sucked into something that is completely unreal. And this isn't like getting sucked into your own video game or Fortnite here. I agree with just about every criticism that this is emotional manipulation disguised as technological stimulation. And I guess I should say I wish it would stop, as I wrote at Spectator, but that's not how these things go. Someone will just see this and say, how can we take this a step further? How can we make it look more realistic? It doesn't look that real. That's the thing. Like, there's not even an element really of Uncanny Valley. It looks pretty lawnmower man-ish to me, the technology. But I'll leave the clip, let you see for yourself. Like I said, it's March 21st, and I did a hit with John Bachman on Newsmax this morning. So I knew that was coming up, so I was going to eat into some of my note-taking time and news gathering. So I figured we would just end the week with Ask Me Anything, Sub or AMA. I don't usually look at those before I go into it because it's supposed to kind of be like a Q&A. The one thing I noticed this morning is Biden's stutter is back. And whenever this story, this fake news story, rears its head, you can usually count on one of a couple of authors. And once you understand who the author is, you understand how the story gets published. And you understand that it's more than likely in coordination with the White House comm shop. Washington Post, Biden's stutter surges into the presidential campaign. Trump mocks and exaggerates the speech impediment, but Biden embraces it as reflecting compassion. With a photo of Biden talking to a young boy. This happened a few weeks ago. Biden was talking to a boy who had a stutter, and he goes, stutter, are you my son? Or whatever. And when these gaffes start to pile up, he misremembers things, stories about his pontoon boats for shoes. That's when they roll this out to just kind of counter that and to kind of push back on that. The author is Matt Visser. And if you know Matt Visser, you know that he was the one who accepted the award at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and he's sitting there smiling and shaking hands with Biden. And if Matt Visser's publishing this story at the Washington Post, you can almost absolutely 100% guarantee that this was either floated to him by the White House comm shop, or somebody said, hey, you know, Biden's having his stutter's coming back, but did you see that incident with the boy? It might be good to highlight that. And they just go, okay, yeah, maybe, oh yeah, I'll look into that. And then they do it and they publish it. The other author, where you can almost 100% guarantee that if they publish a piece, and for this person, it'd be at CNN, but they were at The Atlantic and a few others, is Edward Isaac Devore. Those two guys in particular, if they're publishing a piece like this, it's because it's in coordination with the White House. Even if it's just like a suggestion, hey, Matt, just flagging this for you. I wanted to make sure you saw this video of the president with this young boy. And then, oh, yeah, I'll write that up, whatever. I'm going to read some of this. Because if you recall, I wrote at Spectator that there is a war coming from our media and from journalists on your own eyes and ears. They're telling you what you see is not actually what you're seeing. What you're seeing is a vibrant, fit, strong man. And what you're hearing is not actually someone slurring their words or forgetting the names of presidents and places and when his son dies. It's actually a stutter. I know we clown on this, but this is their actual strategy. This is what they're doing. And even in the framing of the story, you know where this is going. Once again, Matt Visser, Biden's stutter surges into presidential campaign. Trump mocks and exaggerates the speech impediment. He does? What's he exaggerating? Biden embraces as a reflecting compassion. Oh, you earned that award, Matt. President Biden recently sent out a video of meeting with a 9-year-old with a stutter, telling the young boy, don't let anybody tell you you can't do anything. He wrote about having struggled with a stutter all my life, an unusual nod to the ongoing nature of his battle. And in interviews, he has spoken at length about the childhood trauma and embarrassment of struggling to speak. Donald Trump has mocked Biden in recent weeks by falsely claiming that the president is stuttering during his speeches, and he has parodied the purported stammer on occasion. But Biden has been relying on a longtime centerpiece of his personal and political biography, embracing it to sell himself as the candidate of compassion for the 2024 presidential match. Have you remember what I've been talking about? Remember, Biden ran in 2020 on empathy and compassion. And that all went out the window when he turned his back on the country in Abbey Gate Airport at Afghanistan. How compassionate was that? Not seeing the old man for almost 3.5 weeks because they shoved him into a closet while they just let this unfold and bodies fall off wheel wells. You still have the journalists trying to push this like Biden doesn't have a record, or he goes out and he screams his State of the Union, or he goes out and drenches Independence Hall in like blood red lights flanked by Marines V for Vendetta style, and he still wants to push this idea that Biden is the compassionate old man. You've been listening to the Versus Media podcast, free member version. To get the rest of the podcast, additional segments, as well as comments, questions answered on the podcast as part of the community, please consider joining one of my three subscriber tiers. There's a monthly, then there's a yearly, and then there's a founding tier as well, which I will participate in chats with members weekly and offer some other perks. You're always, of course, welcome to stay a free member here, and there's, of course, no obligation to subscribe. But you should, because that's where all the fun actually happens. This is the Versus Media podcast on Substack, and as usual, don't ever talk to journalists.